I want to greet you all this morning in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This day that we're celebrating the resurrection of the Lord here, and just praise Him that He overcame sin and death, so that we also could overcome sin and death. That's what I want to talk about a little bit this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer first. Father, we come before You, Lord, this morning, and we just want to thank You for Your goodness and Your mercy to us, Father. Thank You for the resurrection, that Christ overcame sin and death in this world, Father, so that we, Father, those who have gone astray from You, could be set free from the clutches of death, Satan and hell, and Lord, that we could be reconciled unto You, O God. We thank You for Your goodness to us. We ask Your blessings, Father. Give us wisdom. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, again, I want to greet each one of you here this morning. What a blessing it is to be gathered with you and fellowship with you. This morning I want to just clarify a few things about the resurrection and the purpose of Jesus' coming to this earth. I was reading in this morning about David after he fell with Bathsheba. There's a lot of teachings in the world concerning the atonement, that God couldn't forgive sins until He saw Jesus suffering on the cross. That the reason, if you ask people why Jesus came, it's so that He could forgive, so that God could forgive sins. And that is just not the case. This morning, again, I was just reading in 2 Samuel where David had fallen with Bathsheba, and Nathan came and rebuked him of his sin. In 2 Samuel chapter 12, and David said unto Nathan, verse 13, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. The sin that David committed was a sin worthy of death. And here, without any sacrifice, David confessed his sin to Nathan and owned his sin. And Nathan declared, the Lord hath also put away thy sin. We also know that Jesus, whenever the men had broken up the tiles and had let the paraplegic man down, the quadriplegic man down that couldn't walk or use his body, and they let down the stretcher that he was on and into the midst of Jesus, and Jesus said, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. The Pharisees were amazed that here's someone who said they could forgive sins on the earth. This is all before Jesus died. Supposedly before God's wrath was turned away from man. But here's again, Jesus said, well, is it easier for me to say thy sins be forgiven or to say rise up and walk? And turned to the man and said, rise up and walk. And he rose up and walked. So people often ask when they hear that thought or that idea, they think, well, why did Jesus come then? What was the purpose of Jesus coming if it wasn't to appease God's wrath on sin or to appease His justice? The reason Jesus came is because whenever man yielded himself to God or to Satan, man in the garden died to God, died to his relationship with God. Whenever we think of death, one of the great misconceptions is death is not the cessation of life. Death is separation. Life goes on in one shape or way or another. But the fellowship or the communion that people have is what death is. Whenever someone dies, they're separated from. And whenever we died in the garden, when man died in the garden, we became separated from God. Because we became the possession of God's enemy. Romans bears this out in Acts, and all of the things that Paul teaches is that we were separated from God. But yet, whenever you read that, it says in the day, in Genesis, that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. We know that Adam went on to live 900 and some years after that. So, it wasn't a ceasing to exist. It was a ceasing to have that communion and that fellowship with God. God went on later in the day and said, Adam, Adam, where art thou? He came and even talked to him. But they still didn't have that fellowship or that relationship. He didn't belong to God anymore. He had yielded himself to Satan. So whenever man lived after death, or after his separation from God, he was the possession of the king of this world. He belonged to the prince of this world. And he became his servant. And men have been and were since then the servants of Satan. Satan is deceitful. And he tries to hide that servanthood under pleasing yourself. He says to man, just do whatever you like. And you be your own servant, be your own boss, and all the while we're yielding ourselves more and more into bondage to Him. God sent messengers calling men to repentance, to turn them away from Satan and his kingdom and his world. And the Bible tells that those messengers came and were treated bad, were rejected. One place they said, we will not have this man to rule over us. We don't want to be ruled by God anymore. finally, God sent His own Son into the world to call men back to repentance. When Jesus came into the world, the very first message after He was tempted was repent, and called men to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. If you'll notice, that's right after the temptation. The trial that Jesus went to the desert, and for 40 days He was tempted and tried. We recognize the times that Satan came and lifted Him up on the pinnacle and said, if you'll just bow down to me. It showed Him all the kingdoms of the world. And He said, if you'll just bow down to me, I'll give you all these kingdoms. Then another time He was hungry. He hadn't eaten for 40 days. And Satan said, just make some bread out of that. Those stones, you can easily command those stones to become bread. But Jesus didn't yield to Satan. He never yielded to Satan. Had He listened to Satan one time, He would have yielded Himself to Satan's control, and there would have been no deliverer from Satan. No one could have done that. But Jesus overcame all of the temptations, everything that Satan could throw at Him, and He did not yield to his control. Jesus went on into the ministry and He began to teach men how to overcome Satan's control, how to overcome the evil of the dominion of this kingdom, Satan's kingdom. And it is opposite of the way we would have dominion or overcome in Satan's kingdom. Jesus began to teach you overcome evil with good. He's talking about not getting an upper hand on your enemy. He's talking about how we can overcome this world. The way you overcome forgiveness, forgive. The way you overcome someone taking something away from you, give them more. The way you win is by giving away. We're not here to set everything straight. This is Satan's kingdom. God is calling us to His kingdom. That's the purpose of His teachings, to show us the way to become a part of His kingdom on this earth. Jesus overcame Satan, so that Satan had no power over him. So that when Jesus came to the cross, whenever this world had all of Jesus that they could stand, Satan chose his people to rise up and kill Jesus. They did it in a cruel way, in a vicious way. It wasn't to satisfy God's anger or His justice. Jesus had to die to overcome death. He had to be tempted in all these ways to show that He would never yield to Satan. And He could overcome. And the death that Jesus went through was a death so that He would taste death for us. And He went into this death, and when He got there, when He went through death, He entered the veil of death, and Satan came to claim Him, like he did all the rest. Satan had no claim on him. His seal wasn't on him. People read about the seals or the marks that people have. They take those seals like you're sealed up in an envelope instead of having that seal upon their lives. They take the seal like preserved. That's where the false idea and the false teaching of whenever we have the Holy Spirit, they use sealed like we're put in a Ziploc bag and no one can get you out. But that's not the seal that God's talking about. We have God's seal on our life. We have His stamp on us. And when we're sealed with the Holy Spirit, we have that seal or that mark of God upon us instead of the mark of the kingdom upon us. So that when Jesus passed through death, Satan had no mark on him. Satan had no seal on him. It was only the holy seal of God. And Satan had no control over that. Jesus was able to overcome sin and death and take the keys of death and hell away from Satan. It wasn't to change God's mind about our standing. It was about Him actually overcoming death. So that the resurrection was proof and evidence that Jesus had conquered the king of this world, the prince of this world. In John chapter 16, verse 8, when He is come, He will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. John 16, verse 8. Of sin, because they believe not on Me. Of righteousness, because I go to My Father, and you see Me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Jesus overcame him. Revelation says that Jesus appeared and I have the keys of death and hell. Why? Because He overcame death and hell and sin. And He defeated Satan because Satan had no hold on Him. Whenever it talks about Satan and those and his angels will be judged, that's talking about all who follow Satan. Hell wasn't created for man, but for the devil and his angels and those who follow him. If man follows Satan, they go to hell. Not because of what they've done so much as because they want to follow the loser. They want to follow Satan. They put their strength and their power behind the king of this world, the prince of this earth, the king of the flesh. And they've yielded to Him because that's who they want to be their king. Whenever we become a part of the kingdom of God, it's because we choose to change kings. We choose to be faithful to the king. Whenever Jesus went down into the to Hades to preach to Abraham. Remember in Luke chapter 16, it talks about Abraham and those in the bosom of Abraham. They were still in Hades. They were still in bondage. They were in a better part of it, but they were still in bondage. Jesus went and set the captives free from that bondage. They were being held there until the judgment to see whose side they were going to be on. When Jesus overcame them, He took those that chose righteousness and chose to come out of this world, even though they were still bound. But whenever Jesus came, He delivered them from that and set them free from death and hell. That's why Jesus came. It wasn't to change God's mind. He came. God is merciful. He's willing to forgive. But it's not just about His forgiveness. Man chose and has chosen to follow and become a slave of the king of this world. And by doing that, he became the heir of death and hell, the fruit of yielding to this world. And Jesus overcame that. And the evidence that He overcame that was the resurrection. So now we can follow our King with the confidence that death has no hold on us. That when we die, it's nothing to fear. It's the entrance into being united with our King. And that's why we celebrate the resurrection. That's the importance. That's the blessing of the resurrection. It's not the death that we celebrate, as we are thankful for the death and we remember the death. But Jesus isn't dead. It wasn't the death that set us free. It wasn't because He was beat up and tortured that set us free from our sin. It was Him passing through that. The door that He had to go through to overcome death. He had to be tempted so that He could prove that He was worthy to overcome death. And He did it. And you and I will be tempted the same way to see if we're going to be worthy to overcome death. So that we can fit into the Father's kingdom. He gave His life's blood. He shed it on this world. He went into the battlefield. And He sacrificed Himself on the battlefield so that we could be free. Not from God and His anger towards us. God is angry with those who reject His Son. He's angry with the wicked. The way to turn from that is to return back to Him. Any father that has a son doesn't require, what he wants is obedience. What he wants is the son to return. The prodigal son, the story of the prodigal son, the man took his inheritance and he went to a far country and wasted it. It wouldn't matter what that man did. He left the presence of his father, the safety of his father's home, and he went out, and he could have went out and made himself a king, but he was still been apart from his father. But he found himself in a pig pen. And he thought to himself, boy, if I could just be a servant, the servants in my father's house are much better off than I am. And so he returned to his father, and his father saw him coming and met him and went running to be reconciled to him. But as long as he was out, as long as he is away from his father, there was no help there. The father could not help him because he had chosen to go his own way. He had chosen to be a part of the world. And the father let him go. And the man came to himself and returned to the father. That's all a father wants. That's all a father wants, is to have his sons or his children return back to him, to repent, to come home. But if they were out there and they're sold to a slave master, and they can't leave, they're bound in chains, and they can't even come home even though they long to, they need a deliverer. Jesus came as that deliverer, and he set us free from Satan. He broke the power of sin. He healed because evidence of the healing power of God. I believe that anyone that gets healed today, whether a believer or whether an unbeliever, is healed because Jesus overcame death. They're healed and they're able to be set free because Jesus overcame Satan. People can be forgiven. People can be healed. People can overcome dangerous habits because Jesus died and overcame and broke those bonds. That doesn't make a person a servant of Jesus. They should be thankful and should gladly return. But many times they just shift from having a self-destructive life to having a self-preserving life. The focus is still on themselves. Oftentimes people who are bound by sin and death become very religious and put on a really self-preserving. They just go the other way. They used to be really just living for just pleasures and living the self-destructive life. And then whenever they are delivered from that, they do everything they can to preserve their life from then on. That's one of the big things behind a lot of the religious movements, is we deliver people out of drugs and alcohol and sinful behavior, and then deliver them from those self-destructive lives. And there's a real deliverance from those things, and I believe all that comes from Jesus, because he sets the whole world, he died for the sins of the whole world. Because Jesus rose and overcame it. But then instead of pointing those people to becoming a part of the kingdom of God and a servant to the king, they shift that self-preserve or that selfish nature from being self-destructive, full of pleasure, fun, to one of self-preservation and promise prosperity and goodness and health and all these things that sound good to someone wanting to preserve themselves. but they go right past the commandment of Jesus that says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Not only must he deny the self-destructive behavior, but also the self-preserving behavior of trying to make everything in my life just wonderful now. It's still, the focus is still on self. Jesus said, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. That's where the promises, and who the promises of eternal life are to. And it all happened because Jesus was willing to come into this world, face the temptations, all that the devil had to throw at him, and then yield himself to the death so that he could pass through that death and overcome Satan, because Satan had no claim on him. Take the keys of death and hell away from him and set us free from that captive. The captive of the devil, the captivity of the devil, and of death, and of hell, and deliver us, so that we could choose freely to yield ourselves to the King of glory, the King of kings, and the Lord of lords, and be his bondservants. To yield ourselves into his kingdom. The resurrection is what's important about Christianity. The death was just a vehicle that Jesus had to go through so that he could rise and overcome death. We don't glory in how he was punished. Jesus went through what he had to do so that he could overcome it. I believe that's why on the cross that God turned his back from him. It wasn't because he saw all these sins piled on Jesus. It was because this world was murdering his son. This world was murdering its creator. And in order for him not to have a desire to step in, he turned his back so he didn't watch.
Just the exact opposite.
Just the exact opposite of what the world teaches. To let him go ahead and pass through that death so that he could rise again. So that's the glory. That's why Jesus came. That's the glory of the resurrection. That's why the early Christians put the emphasis on the resurrection instead of the image of him hanging on a cross. We don't celebrate and glorify that wicked cross. We glorify the fact that Jesus rose from it and overcame. Praise the Lord. Should open it up for a question or two.
A couple weeks ago, we were discussing all of this. I was discussing all this with the pastor of the Charity Church in Ohio, and we were talking about the atonement. And I just asked him if he saw Christ's sacrifice on the cross is a way of dealing with God's inability to forgive us of our sins and appease his wrath so that he could forgive us of our sins. And he basically said, yes. That's pretty much how I see Christ's sacrifice on the cross. And so we just started talking about the implications of that. Okay. So if this is the view, if this is how we should understand Christ's sacrifice on the cross is a way to get God to forgive us of our sins, then what are the implications of that, and how is it going to affect the way we see Jesus' teachings and commandments and how we live our Christian life? And as we were looking at some of these things, I don't know if it was becoming very clear to him or not, but it was about part way through as we were looking at the examples of people who Jesus taught salvation to. We just went through and looked at the people Jesus taught salvation to in his teachings and just compared that to how Jesus should have taught them salvation if he came to just get God to forgive us of our sins. And it just wasn't that coming out that clear to this man. But we got to, we spoke about Zacchaeus, who invited Jesus down into his house and declared that he would give half his goods to the poor, and if he could make restitution to those who he defrauded. And then Jesus declared salvation to him. There was a lawyer, I think, that asked Jesus what he must do to be saved. And Jesus thought about the Good Samaritan and said, go and do likewise. And then we got to the rich young ruler. And that's what we were discussing, actually. And talking about what Jesus should have said to this young ruler when he went away sad, if his purpose was to come and get God to forgive him of his sins by dying on the cross. And that's when this pastor said just what you're talking about. He said, he said this was before Jesus died on the cross. And I said, this is just exactly what we're getting to. I said, don't you see that your understanding of what Jesus did on the cross has affected how Christ's teachings apply to salvation or being reconciled to the Father? They just don't apply hardly because of the way you see it's, and that's the way everybody, the world's Christianity is today. The New Testament really doesn't start until Jesus died on the cross. And that's why Paul's teachings are so important to them, even though they won't say it.
That excludes the teachings of Jesus.
Everything else before Jesus died on the cross is it just, even though they might give a lot of value to it, it just takes the edge off everything that Jesus, that's the easiest way for me to look at it. It's all important, and it might bring a little bit of conviction to your heart, but it just dulls it about, just like running a knife over a, just dulls it and takes the edge off anything that he said is really having any relevance to us being reconciled to the Father, because he did it all after he taught these things. That's the way you get it. His words don't. Oh, and then this pastor actually said, and he brought up that, well, then why, when Jesus died on the cross, did God forsake Christ on the cross? And I didn't think of that, what you were saying. I didn't think of it, but he was looking at the exact opposite of what you just explained. He was looking at it as God getting so much satisfaction out of his son dying on the cross to be able to forgive us of our sins, that his wrath, it was his wrath that was being poured out on Jesus, and God, instead of embracing his son or wanting to be with his son in that, was actually so angry with him that Jesus was just forsaken by his Father on the cross, because instead of being with his son, God was just turning his wrath towards his son and turning away from him, so that Jesus so that he would be able to forgive us. But what you explained is just the exact opposite. Oh, and then the other verse he brought out, that I'm just, this is all coming to my mind now, was that having an advocate before the Father. And I just thought of that now, too, that that can be looked at the exact opposite. I mean, depending on how you're in 1 John chapter 2, 1, it says we have an advocate before the Father. Well, they're looking at it like Jesus is there trying to
keep the Father's wrath cool.
Yeah, and the opposite way of looking at that is our adversary is Satan, and Jesus is there dealing with that, is an advocate before the Father.
Yes.
Over who has a claim over our life. I didn't think of those two things when I was talking with this man, but there was enough said that, I mean, but it's interesting.
Amen. Anyone else have anything? Like to share a question?
Christianity was introduced into the world, Satan was deceiving all the pagans and Gentiles into believing that they had to offer sacrifices to appease the wrath of gods, and so they could get a good harvest and they would have good success and prosperity. They would offer, even in Peru, they would offer human sacrifices to once a year, I think, to appease their god's wrath and have a good harvest and ward off evil spirits or whatever. And Satan has just taken that concept and introduced it into contaminated Christianity with it. So now people believe that now, instead of offering a human sacrifice to appease God, they believe that Jesus was that sacrifice to appease God. It's kind of like just how Catholicism kind of just meshes right in with the pagan religions, and they kind of have just a mix of it. It's kind of the same. That's just a little bit of what's happened.
Antichrist Christianity, yeah. just taken Christ and mixed him all up with the world and brought him back.
Well, it's like long ago, it's no more an old thought. They often say, can you imagine an earthly father, a father sending his children to burn, to hell? I say, that's exactly right. He would never do that. The problem is, they're not his children. He's Amen. Not their father. They have another one. They've chosen
another
king, ruler, owner.
I wanted to comment on that thought too. I thought about that, how the modern gospel just makes God out to be the bad guy every time. It's not God sending these people to hell so much as who you yield yourself, servants to obey, his servants ye are, and if you're obeying Satan, you're his servant. He's going to take you, get a claim on you, and he will take you with him to hell forever. That's how mean he is. More evil beyond belief, right? God is more good and merciful beyond what we can understand.
Amen.
Started as a modern movement,
Christ in community, but any of the teachings of Christ are not dependent by anybody who professes to be a Christian. It's all outside.
Amen.
I think that's why you get a matter of what denomination you point to. That's why I kind of stay away from pointing the finger. That's just all of these things. You know, even the idea that because everything goes through the hand of God, we know that. The Bible tells us that. So people reason, their human reason, well, if it went through the hands of God, then God approved of this. That's the only thing. God allowed it. But it doesn't mean he was pleased.
Amen.
There's a big difference.
Amen. All right, anyone else?